Ladies and gentlemen, we are here. We are live. Welcome to the Sports Attention Podcast. I'm your host, Grego, and I'm here with my co-host, the one and only Potty. How you going, mate?
Mate, I am well. How are we out there, ladies and gentlemen? Yep, love our loyal listeners.
Absolutely. I'm back. I'm slowly getting there, getting fitter. Had a bit of a setback today, but We still march on. Mate, another big week in sport, massive week. The footy is in full flight.
Yeah.
Which has been excellent. Oodles of content.
Isn't there? Mm. You can talk about the footy all day, and I have.
Absolutely. And obviously, other stuff in the world around us. Mate, what's caught your eye this week?
Golf trips, mate.
Oh, mate, how good are they?
We were fortunate enough, myself and you, to find ourselves on a golf trip over the weekend, and geez, wasn't it fun?
Yeah, fantastic.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mate, they don't get better.
Yeah, they don't get any better. Not a vegetable in sight.
No, that's true.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, so.
Yes.
You know, the like every good golf trip, plenty of golf, not a lot of sleep.
Yes.
How good.
But also, too, unfortunately, lots of mosquitoes this time.
Yeah.
Absolutely awful.
Yeah, there were a lot of mosquitoes out there.
Yeah, possibly the reason why I wasn't too well this morning.
Could well have been. But, yeah.
Enough of that. Enough about our sorrows and our sad stories, mate. We've got to talk about and perk up here in the Robert Allenby Studios and talk about the good stuff.
Yeah. What's caught your eye
there? Now, it doesn't get much better than this, Potty. Lockdown chaos in Perth.
Lockdown?
Lockdown. No, look.
Oh, sorry.
Let's not jump the gun on this one. So, offender learns his fate. Now, I hadn't heard of this. Now, some of the listeners may have heard of this story in the past. It's a previous case that has gone across the magistrate's table. In relation to a stripper who sparked a CBD lockdown in Perth.
Oh, yeah.
Because he was dressed up as a sexy SWAT team officer.
Oh.
And he was going to do a job.
Yeah.
He was on the job, and somebody obviously thought it looked a little more serious than what it was.
Yeah, right.
And, I mean, so he obviously does his job well.
Committed.
And he's turned up to a 50th birthday.
A 50th?
Yeah, where one of the obviously I can only imagine the Cougars have put in a call for the SWAT team to come and the sexy SWAT stripper to come on in, put a lockdown on and then rip his clothes off and proceed to dry hump all the women in the room.
Yeah, right. And so he sent it in a lockdown.
Basically he's turned up and he's had this replica gel machine gun.
Which is
still illegal because it's a replica firearm. That's twice I've stumbled on that one.
Yep.
Replica. Anyway, I mean, it's not a big deal. It gets better though, Potty, because not only was he dressed up in SWAT, but on the back of his SWAT uniform, he had his name, The Chad.
Oh, yes.
So his name is Chad Satchel. So yeah. Chad Satchel is obviously works in the adult entertainment industry, but I believe he's also a minor by day, stripper by night. So anyway, and he's got the full SWAT uniform with the Chad on the back with a rifle. And could you imagine the cops pulling him up? It's an absolute pisser.
It would be an absolute pearler.
Yep. How good is that?
Did he have to prove it? Did he have to give him a show? He's gone to court for it. Yeah, right.
So obviously he's gone, oh, well, it's a replica firearm. I didn't realise it was illegal. And like, well, sort of is.
Yeah.
But I'm more so on the initial conversation. How good would the initial interrogation have been? Oh,
would have been a ripper.
Mm, and the girls would have been upset.
Yeah.
They just wanted a dong swung in their face.
That's right.
Mm. Yep. But anyway, so the Chad, still yet to get a final understanding, but I believe it could be. Oh, actually, here we go. It's got it in here. Thank you to the Daily Mail. So he was found guilty of possessing a prohibited weapon. Mm. That wasn't his cock. And he was fined $500.
Wow.
And he was also awarded $2,500 in costs.
Yeah, wow.
And they've obviously thrown out the conviction on that. So he's had a win.
Yeah, on you, mate, on you.
And I mean, worst case scenario, they've referred to your slug as a weapon.
Yeah.
You've got to be happy with that.
Happy days. That's going to give him some work.
Oh, you'd think so, yeah. Absolutely. He might not be able to bring the machine gun. Maybe a bazooka next time.
Oh, yes.
But anyway, mate, should we get into the footy?
Let's roll.
The rugby league final was a big Wembley occasion. Oh, get that in here.
Rightio, Potty, a big weekend of NRL action, mate. Headline of the week, first one, is their footy players, not foster carers. Player welfare is under the spotlight as referees get tough on reckless tackles, mate.
Oh, yes.
The word duty of care was thrown around this weekend, mate. What are your thoughts on that? Taylan May, Reece Walsh, duty of care. What are we doing?
Okay, so it feels like we've been here before, doesn't it? We go back 12 months ago and we spoke about Marty Tapau.
Yes. Sprinting
down the field and...
callously kneeing the fullback in the forehead.
Or did Jordan Rapana headbutt Marty Tapau's knee?
That's a good point.
Like, honestly, like, where are we at the moment? So Graham Annesley, the NRL head of football's come out today and he's basically had a dig at the match review committee for not charging Taylan May, not supporting the referees. The match review committee separate from the NRL, so he's having a chop at them about that. Who knows what's going on, mate? Honestly, like, he has run out of the ball and there has been a head clash.
So it sounds to me almost like the match review committee would possibly have a decent role being in the referee's office as well.
Yeah, well,
because they might actually put a stop to all these nonsense rule changes and crackdowns that seem to be pissing everyone off.
Oh, well, everyone who goes in that room just gets infected, mate. Everyone turns to shit.
Yeah. I mean, I lost it when referees started talking inside, outside, shoulder. Yeah, they've never fucking tackled anything in their life.
Yeah, mate, it's just... there's a reason the referees... Well, hang on.
Look, I mean, they're valuable commodities, the referees. Don't get me wrong.
They are.
We need referees, and especially when we talk about junior football through.
I joke.
But it does get frustrating.
I would never condone giving a referee a spray or anything like that. You do that, go have a seat for a few weeks as far as I'm concerned. Mm. But honestly, what we've got going on at the moment, like, that was just... Everyone watched it and saw it for the first time and went, oh, it's a head clash.
Yep.
Why are they watching it again? I know what they're doing here. They're just trying to figure out a way to find a penalty here. it was a head clash.
It's a head clash.
They play a contact sport. We love a contact sport. Yep. Do I want to see that happen? Do I want my best player to be out with a facial fracture? No.
Yeah.
But look, that's...
I mean, I sit here across the table from you with a head like a beaten favourite because of head clashes. Mm. That is, honestly, I've got a head that needs regular panel beating, and it's because it's had some regular panel beating in my days when I used to throw the boots on.
Yeah.
Like, it just happens. You know, we've all remembered times where we've, you know, almost French kissed our mate, but unfortunately it was in the act of trying to tackle someone.
Yeah.
You know, it happens. And, you know, to say that Taylan May, even though, you know, you could both see them pull out and, like, pull their faces back as they collided. They knew what was happening. Unavoidable.
Yeah, he should have.
And there was no malice in it. There was nothing. It was just one of those things.
Yeah, and it's always going to be one of those things. And it's just embarrassing that we're trying to get this out of the game, I mean. Like,
what? What are we doing? We're going to destroy this out of the game.
Yeah. I could go on for hours about this one, mate. I've spoken about other players before, who James Tedesco, who you know, runs into tackles and just before he gets there, he braces and he drops. What is the defender meant to do in that situation? What did Taylan May do wrong there? He kept his shoulders out of it.
He was on the field.
What about a job well done?
Yeah, no, he was on the field. That was a problem in the referee's eyes. And, you know, he should get 8 weeks for it.
Yeah, well, he's getting nothing.
Good.
Yeah, there you go.
Absolutely. Oh, mate. What do you got for us?
Desi the Disaster.
Oh.
Titans
hasn't
off,
got better.
Titans off to a very rocky start under Des.
Mm.
And to make matters worse, Tino. gone for the year. Yeah, Big Tino, their best player? Best player, I'd have to say.
Oh, yeah, easily, yeah.
Is out for a year with...
He's the leader of the pack.
Yeah, well, there's a knee reconstruction in that, mate, and you'd be able to speak a little bit more to this. I think you've gone under the knife for a couple yourself.
I've had a couple, mate.
They're, you know, he's looking at a good 12 months till he's really starting to feel good.
Oh, well, yeah, they just rule out the season for you now.
Yeah.
The big issue for Titans fans is they probably got really excited with the, you know, David Fifita put pen to paper. It looked like, oh, we're making progress toward the back end of last season.
He signed 3-week contracts at the moment,
yeah,
though, doesn't he?
And then, you know, it looked like if you're a Titans fan, you know, you're looking at it and you're going, well, you know, our pack's going to have something to say next year. You lose Fifita for the first part of the season. Mm. He's probably not due back for another couple of weeks. And then you lose Tino.
Yep.
Whilst he's out, you lose Tino to a season-ending injury. Yep. I mean, you basically, if I'm sitting in decision land at the Titans, I'm basically sitting down with Dez today and I'm saying, mate, it's going to be a tough one, but you do what you need to do to get us in the right shape.
Yeah, so my big concern is Dez has had his feet under the desk all preseason. He was planning towards the back end of last year. He's added Keenan Paliasia from the Broncos, who was playing really well. He's also got Bo Fermor back from injury as well, so he's added a couple of quality to his pack. And, mate, they are not getting beaten. They are getting absolutely trounced. And we are talking about they played two games. They had the bye. They got flogged by the Dragons, who've been made look ordinary the following 2 weeks after that. And, sorry, it's jumped out of my head for a second. Who pumped them on the weekend?
The Dogs.
The Dogs. Yeah. The Dogs pumped them who, you know, look, the Dogs have been courageous enough in defence over the first couple of weeks, but they got pumped both weeks by nearly 20 points, or 20 plus points. So you've got to be a little bit worried. Like, I get what you're saying. Desi, get him into shape, but I'm maybe sitting on the ball going,
I'm not talking about fitness necessarily. I'm talking about Desi going, yes, I have, like, for example, I have Kieran Foran as my six. When I am successful at the Gold Coast Titans, Kieran Foran will not be my six.
Yeah.
That's the mindset he's got to go in with at the moment.
He does, but like these trouncings, I know it's only two games, but they have been bad losses.
Yeah.
Like, I'm worried if I'm a Titans fan. I'm like, whoa, if we lost to the Dragons by two and then we lost to the Dogs by, you know, six or something like that, I'm like, yeah, bit of work to be done. Not quite gelling at the moment. Maybe this won't be our year, but if we can get some runs on the board by the end of the year, and then go into next year. But seeing the way they got trounced.
Yeah. See, David Fifita comes back into that side with a fit Tino, and I think it changes.
Mm.
You know, I think he's enough of a lift in a squad that they do get their wins. They, you know, they're not going to make the eight, in my opinion. They weren't at the start of the season. But I think that's possibly, you know, what you got to be looking at from the Titans franchise for this year is just going, look, let's get through. Let's try and blood some juniors through. Let's look at our roster. Let's look at, you know, is there a player that's going to add value that comes onto the market? I'm probably looking at the halves. And, you'd be looking to go in that direction. But it's going to be a long season.
I'm going to need to see something from them this weekend. If they get flogged again, I'm worried.
Absolutely. Rightio, mate. Sea Eagles robbed. Controversial call. The talking point is Parramatta flex their muscles, mate.
Yes.
Now, this has been a very, very highly debated over the last 24 hours.
Yes.
The obstruction rule.
Yeah.
I mean, Tommy Turbo has just hit the hole. All his Christmases come at once.
Yep.
And then they've pulled it back for just what I think is one of the most ludicrous decisions that I've ever seen in rugby league. You know, Jake Trbojevic, he's just not in that. It's a poor defensive read. Just opens up and Tommy's away and they've been robbed. And it's cost them 2 points. What are your thoughts on that one, Potty?
Yeah, well, first of all, it didn't cost them 2 points. They were down by eight at the time. So we'll start with that little fabrication. Secondly, don't stop in the line. I don't care how good a bloke you are. ran, stopped dead in the line.
Yeah, that's true.
Knocked Moretti off his, like, did Moretti milk it for all it was worth? 100%, but he stopped him from running.
Yeah.
You can't do that. It was clear as day. It was just
well, that in terms of what the rule is, yeah. is, you know, it's, yeah, there's not even a debate there. It was an obstruction due to the nature of the rule. He ran, stopped in the line, even if it takes, you know, it's like an old-fashioned offside in football.
Yeah.
If it impacts
yeah.
the defensive line, you basically got to stick with the rule.
And
whether you like it or don't, that's the rule.
And Jakey T, he'll be filthy on himself. He'll look back on that and go, yeah, I know I was tired, but,
yeah,
you know, I needed to either run through or stop earlier.
Or you just stick a big left foot out. Juke off it, mate, and get on the inside shoulder and it's happy days.
Yeah.
You know, Tom's still taking that hole.
Yeah, exactly.
That's probably just something, you know, I think fatigue plays a massive factor in those sorts of plays.
Well, it was a fast game.
Yeah, and I just think it's, you know,
yeah.
one of those things. It was 100% by the rules. Yeah. But anyway, I couldn't help myself.
No. I knew what you were getting at, but I nibbled anyway. South suck.
That's a very blunt headline.
JD under the pump. So
they're like a Gold Coast Titans, the South Sydney Rabbitohs, who still have quality.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like the players that have been missing in the initial part, you'd be going, they would be the players, if you're a South fan, who would be getting you excited for the new season.
Yep.
Campbell Graham, Jack Whiten.
Jack came back on the weekend.
Came back on the weekend.
Yeah.
What did he do?
Not much.
Yeah.
Yeah. Look, yeah, no doubt the pressure's going to be mounting, though. Do I think Seattle will come out the other side of it? Do I think they got enough quality? Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
But they were I tipped the Roosters, but I was like, oh, well, do yeah, I change? Yeah, so
the, this is, you know, the talk of the ambush or the, yeah. you know, South were always going to turn up for that sort of football match. But
yep.
And you always, when you're going through your tips, you've always got that in the back of your mind where you're going, oh, yeah, I don't know. They might get there. But,
yeah. Well, I first, like lots of people started to become a little bit worried after the game on the weekend, a few more the week before against the Broncos. And most people kept pretty calm about South Sydney's chances and how they're going, you know, after the loss in Vegas, you know, number of things you could put it down to. But I was panicked weeks before that when you tipped Lockie Ellis for Dalian Player of the Year.
Yes.
I knew they were absolutely stuffed then.
Well, he got dropped on the weekend. Dean Hawkins, I mean, that's a tough task to bring him for a match like that, you know, and then expect him to, you know, provide minor miracles to ensure that they
they got
2 points.
They got to stick with him for a couple of weeks, don't they?
Well, yeah, I think it's you know, it's if you want to make a big call like that, you know, you're going to have to stand by it. You can't just chop and change week in, week out. That's just, yeah, that's not going to bear fruit in the NRL.
Exactly, mate, exactly. What else we got?
The Knights and the Wahs get their 2 points. The Wahs knocked off the Raiders while the Knights took advantage of an extremely depleted Melbourne Storm to get the job done on Sunday night.
They did.
So they're both off the mark. They're both off the mark for 2024. I think deservedly so.
Yeah, they played well enough.
Like, you could look and you, if they were 0-3, you'd go, that's a very, very disappointing start.
Yeah.
However, the Knights made it difficult, or did the Storm play out of their skin?
So the Knights started really well. They got off to that handy lead.
They have been
in
all three matches as well.
And Storm just do what Storm do, I think. They really, really hung on, and they did their absolute best to get back in. But Newcastle, you know, managed to hold on to this one. They lost to the Cowboys.
They dug in at the end.
They probably, you know, deserved it, I guess you'd say.
And I think, you know, the Warriors match, if it's in Canberra, I think that's a lot tougher. They were very much helped by the fact that they were over in New Zealand. You know, Canberra came out well. They looked sharp early. The Warriors ended up just sort of digging the heels and drowning them over the course of the 80 minutes. But I don't think they get away with that if they're away from home. A performance like that, but you know, they'll take the 2 points, put in the back pocket, and they'll look forward now. Any little discussion points caught your eye, mate?
Yeah, mate. So, look, you know, I can see headline up there, Cleary out and injury him out.
Ryan. Oh, I forgot about that. I wasn't even talking. Yeah. Mate, there's been some tragic injury news for both of us today.
Oh, well, mate, like 5 minutes before the show came on, it's been announced that Mitch Moses looks like he's headed for foot surgery. 6 weeks, best case scenario, probably looking at 8 to 12, and I'm just, you know, flat as a tack. Yeah. Finally, you know.
So if you go back and if you're a listener or viewer on YouTube and you watch the start of our entrance into the show today, you'll just see Potty is just staring through the walls of this studio. He's just, and I think he was just drinking it in at that time.
Oh, mate.
The fact that it's possibly 3 months without his gun halfback.
All right, so I just watched the highlights of the Manly game and I was just frothing over Mitch's. Oh, I just cannot believe it. Filthy, filthy. Anyway, get a young gun in there, see how they go. Time for Dylan Brown to step up.
Sanders?
Yeah, Ethan Sanders. They got Dejan Arcee there as well, so it all depends on what Brad Arthur wants to do. I'd be giving the young kid a go as long as he's been going all right in Reggie's.
Well, he's. It looks likely that he's off. At the end of the season, Sanders.
Yeah, he's not allowed to sign until after round six. So, I
imagine. But you could at least say, look, yes, there's no longevity in giving him some time there. If you haven't got a ready-made backup halfback whose name isn't Ethan Sanders, you've got to go with him.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Don't know where he'll end up, but it does look like he is gone.
Well, I mean, it's just with the contract situation with Brown, he's got options through to 2057.
He does.
And Mitch Moses signing on. I mean, there's a spot out at Penrith. Always a spot out at Penrith.
Yeah, well, we've spoken about this before.
Or the Chooks.
Yeah, the Chooks
always seem to find some scratch.
We've spoken about this before, but if you're giving that kid advice, obviously his manager's like just seeing dollar signs. But you know, mate, is it the worst thing to stay? You know. Another year behind Mitch Moses, Dylan Brown, learn your craft off one of the better halves in the game, and
with the starvation of good halves in the NRL, and also too the fact that your agent doesn't make as much as a commission, either does your family or all those advising you, I think those decisions become made for the player.
Yeah, I guess it does, but I think. The longevity of young halves in the competition is they end up at good clubs. They take their time. I mean, you look at someone like Cogger, you look at someone like Schneider, you look at someone like Sean O'Sullivan.
Mm.
They head out to, you know, the promised land, out at Penrith and get, you know, sometimes a handful of games, sometimes a dozen games. You know, it's not as if these halves don't pick up injuries.
Well, speaking of, and on this topic, there's another discussion point I had in there for today, which we could merge in, is the Dolphins looking to tie down Isaiah Katoa.
Yep.
So with Jerome Luai leaving Penrith, I mean, obviously that money that was set aside for Jerome is probably going to, you know, a lot of it's going to be chewed up in just upgrading a lot of the squad.
Yep.
You know, that's just the nature of the beast in balancing a salary cap. But as a fan, I look at someone like Isaiah Katoa. I go, well, you know, let's bring him back. Yep. You know, we lost him because the end play was that Jerome would stay long term. We've lost Jerome. Is there an opportunity there as he continues to play first grade up at Redcliffe?
Yeah,
that you bring him back. But anyway, it's an interesting thought in terms of, you know.
What about your man Dane Laurie though, mate?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't see him as a six.
Don't see him as a six? Is that because he's looking at 25 to life? Oh, no, sorry, different. Sorry.
No, wrong one. No, wrong Dane Laurie.
Sorry, mate, sorry.
You'll get a job with the Daily Telegraph if you keep that up. I think I see Dane Laurie as a fullback and as a utility player.
Yeah.
In my Penrith team.
Yeah.
You know, I think you probably need a bigger body at six.
Yep.
You know, and that's where someone like Brad Schneider could be very, very handy into the future. And obviously Jack Cole, there's a reason why he started the World Club Challenge.
Yep.
You know, he's a good young player. Speaking of debuts as well, looks like Schneider will make his debut this weekend, but also to Maverick Geyer.
Maverick
son
Guyer.
Son of Mark Guyer. Yeah. So, yes, obviously some Penrith royalty in the bloodline will be making their debut, which is fantastic.
Fantastic. Yeah. Speaking of debuts, mate, did you see young Blaze Taualangi get his debut
for
Parramatta?
He was good. How good was he just steamrolling Turbo for his try? That's an exclamation.
Does he have footwork? I have no idea.
The Samoan sidestep was in full flight, mate.
Do you reckon Turbo's just sprinting across at this young kid thinking, I'm going to light...
I'm going to at least, yeah, I think I can have him, and there's all crumbs.
He's not going to step here.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was...
It was a good game. And obviously, even conversations I've had with you, there's been a bit of hesitation on fan sides of when Blaze would be ready. Mm. What do you think, mate?
Look, the big thing for him is he looked like he belonged straight away. Yes, he made a couple of defensive errors, but I saw them more as reads rather than tackling deficiency. I think for a club that is crying out for a little bit of X factor, they say, out wide, I think you've really got to consider it. The only reason I think that you would seriously consider not bringing him in and not allowing him to try and cement that centre spot is if you thought that he was a dead set fullback and he was the heir. He was going to be one of the great fullbacks of the game and he was going to take over from Gutho. You just needed him to get another dozen.
He's still got a lot of growing to go.
He does. Blaze. He doesn't look like he's got the... like. He looks more like an outside back.
But if you think about when Sualee came in, and Sualee, obviously very young as well, but, you know, he's still a very, very good player. It's only been the first three rounds of this year where you've gone, all right, he fits.
Yeah, yeah.
He's got an NRL body now. He looks like post contact meters are increasing. He looks like he's getting the arm free. He's breaking tackles, which is what we were seeing of him when he was coming up through the grades as a very young player.
So we've got him ready, and now we look forward to him having a great rugby league career. Forget about that, mate.
Going back to our other discussion point, mate. Ryan Pappenhausen, geez, he's looked good so far.
Yeah, he's looked good.
Like, for someone who's come back from the injuries, he's come back. I want to almost keep it quiet because you don't want to put the wood on him. But, geez, he started the season really, really well, which is great to see.
He does. And to me, he makes, we haven't seen Munster yet this season, but he makes someone like Jerome Hughes, who didn't play the other day, look better.
Yeah,
because that threat just gives him just that little bit more space.
Yeah,
that real, like, Nick Meaney's a quality player, but he doesn't have that lightning acceleration.
Yeah. So, what do you reckon Meaney's got a future in the halves or out wide?
Meaney, oh, look,
you've got to get Pappenhausen back in. It won't be long before he's starting again if he keeps playing like he's playing.
Pappy,
yeah,
he's been starting, hasn't he?
I think he's been coming off the bench, hasn't he?
No, I thought he might have started. Okay. No, Meaney for me. Look, I think he's probably best position is fullback. I think there are not enough quality fullbacks out there. He'll probably pick up a job somewhere else if he wanted to go, but I don't think he wants to leave Melbourne.
Yeah. Oh, well, yeah, perhaps he came off the bench first game. Yeah, but he's back. Yeah, now think about it. Panthers heading to Vegas, mate. Locked in. First team locked in. The Penny Panthers are going over to Vegas. Storm, Warriors, Dolphins, Raiders, Knights and Cowboys are also the other sides in the hunt for the final three positions.
Yeah.
From a Penrith perspective, this is obviously designed to circumnavigate their stadium issues because we won't have a home ground next year.
Yeah, yeah.
So, and I think we've got a team down the road that might be lending us a stadium for a little bit as well.
Yeah, Leichhardt's free.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, mate, they should play at the Western Weekender at St Mary's.
Play there
That'd
before,
be
mate.
That'd be brilliant, mate. You need to have all the locals from Tregear just walking through the little dirt track to go and watch a game.
Take it on the tour, couple of games all the way up the coast, maybe a game out of Tamworth, a couple of games in Coffs Harbour.
Well, that's what they will do. So, obviously, I think they're still only booked in for one match at Bathurst, but you just take two matches to Bathurst next year. Go to Vegas for one, two matches to Bathurst. I believe they still do another one regionally, maybe, that I can think of. No, I'm missing one.
Mudgee.
No. I'm missing another one that they obviously have in the calendar.
Yeah.
Magic Weekend. That's what it was.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. Yeah. So there's, straight away, there's four games.
Yep.
You know, that you and I mean, the rest you're probably playing at Combank.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, Stream of the week, mate.
Well, there was only one choice.
There was only one. So Roadhouse.
Roadhouse.
Mate.
Look, if you have if you haven't seen Roadhouse, go see it. Get an absolute cracker, mate. The acting in it, skip right on by that.
It's fantastic. I don't know what you're talking about. Mate, look, if you want to go balls deep in Roadhouse, if you want to go all in, I did the original because Amazon Prime. It's on Amazon Prime. You get it free of charge. The original with Patrick Swayze. And I was all in. I'm like, oh, they can't beat this. I'd never seen Roadhouse before.
And yeah.
So anyway, the double deuce. And then I've just watched that and I've gone, well, it can't get better than this. And then I've watched the Conor McGregor version. I was like, you can see the similarities in the two where they try to piece the storyline together. Jake Gyllenhaal, Conor McGregor. It's good. Yeah. It's very much a now fight scene.
Oh, yeah.
Acting. Just they were sort of just reveling in the fact that Conor McGregor had no acting background. It was fantastic. But
word is he's calling for an Oscar.
Oh, I mean, you'd have to be shooing.
Yeah.
Absolutely. However, geez, it was good that I was able to back the old one into it because very rarely do you watch an 80s movie and go, oh, geez, this is great. Caddyshack?
Oh.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
Like you can watch that as an 80s movie and just go, oh, this is piss funny.
Yeah.
But, you know, I loved it. The Roadhouse, the old original, it's probably got me a little bit more hungry to check out some more old 80s flicks.
Mate, I like it. I like it.
We have gone too far before Stream of the Week. Final thing on Roadhouse, though.
Mm.
Conor McGregor's opening scene. Can you give me a rating on his opening scene without spoiling it for the listeners who are obviously going to run to their Prime subscriptions, even hit a trial and just watch it again, or watch it at least?
Conor McGregor.
Describe the first scene in terms of it being Conor McGregor.
Well, he said nothing, really, and he's just paraded out stark as naked from...
I think he was sleeping with someone's wife.
Yeah, sleeping with someone's wife, and so he poured out.
That was the case.
And he's just walked straight down to where did he go to get?
He was like in a marketplace.
Yeah, in a marketplace, and he's found this.
Spoiler alert!
He's found this coat, and he's just whacked it on. Like,
it's fantastic.
Yeah, so I've described this very poorly.
But. Yeah, he's got his hog out, and it's brilliant. He's got work boots on. Yeah. Like military style work boots.
The smile, the grin.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Also, too, mate, before we jump too far,
yep.
We're doing a bit of zigzagging here, but who cares? We run this show. We can do what we want. Tipping. Round 3. So the Sports Attention Footy Tipping Competition, Damask.
Yeah.
Damask is leading Rocking Horse Road and Heine, the top 3.
Yeah.
Look, some big scores. So Damask has got the he's gone for the perfect round by the looks of it this week.
Yeah, wow, that's a pretty good effort. Ooh. I missed out on the he's picked the Tigers.
Had to. He couldn't have.
That'll do me.
Let's have that can't happen.
Yeah.
I'm not having that. No, got the perfect round last week.
Yeah, yeah.
I've gone too early on that one. Yeah. Obviously some good scores. The first round was an absolute bludger. But we're starting to get a bit of shape to the tipping comp.
Yep, I've worked my way into the top five, two back-to-back sevens. So I'm pretty happy with that. I can see poor old Cozzy's down the list a little bit there. Cozzy, we love Cozzy here at the Sports Attention.
Can't tip.
Yep. And, Grego, mate.
But anyway.
What are you? Number 11. You're on your way.
Yeah, I'm on my way. Yep. I'm getting some right. So the footy tipping, keep at it.
Yep.
Well done, all right. Rightio, mate. So back to Conor McGregor's performance. I mean, it had me thinking straight away.
What?
Hang on.
Hold on.
Oh, yeah.
What do we got, mate?
We have a question, mate.
Yep.
So Conor McGregor's performance in the Roadhouse movie.
Yep.
Um, you know, we've suggested it's Oscar worthy.
Oh, yes.
Straight off. I mean,
he's just stiff.
Question.
Oscars have just gone.
Conor McGregor turns up to the Oscars. He's nominated for Best Supporting Actor in Roadhouse 2024. I know he's got a 10-year ban, but Will Smith would be pulling his head in, wouldn't he?
He would.
There's absolutely no way Will Smith is going up there and slapping the piss out of someone if Conor McGregor's in the crowd.
No, no, he'd be quite welcome to keep Will Smith's wife name.
Oh, yes. he would be putting.
You say what you want. Yeah. No, look.
I was going to say something really rude and having other stuff in his mouth, but. anyway. So the question, mate, and I had thought of what's the question for this week, and I'm thinking on the back of Roadhouse, on the back of Conor McGregor, obviously an elite athlete moving into the Hollywood game. So I thought about all the elite athletes that have got into movies. So I'm going to give you an option this week, so you can actually, it's going to be elite athletes in movies. You can either go for, I'll give you the movie, you give me the athlete, or I can give you the athlete and you've got to give me the movie.
Right, I'm with you. And we got 10.
You got 10.
Yep, okay.
What are you going to go with, the athlete or the movie?
Give me the movie.
Yeah, that's an absolute smart choice, mate. Yep. Okay, first one, Space Jam.
Michael Jordan.
The Hangover.
Mike Tyson.
Lock, Stock and Two Smoking Barrels.
Vinnie Jones.
Correct. Also Jason Statham.
Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely. So for any of our Olympic listeners diver? At home, a diver,
yeah,
an athlete.
You would have taken either of those.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
The Naked Gun 33 and a third.
Is that OJ?
OJ Simpson. Crank.
Crank. Oh. No idea.
Jason Statham. Jason Statham. Tricked him.
You got me. Got me.
Rightio, Something About Mary.
Something About Mary. Oh. What was his name? Oh, this is hurting me. Oh, damn. Tell me.
Brett Favre. I would have gone for Brett Favre. Ace Ventura.
What's his name? Oh, this is me now. I'm just kidding. No,
Dan Marino. Double Team with Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Double Team. No idea.
Dennis Rodman. Rightio. Un-Indian. Un-Indian.
I've never heard of that.
Un-Indian. Bollywood.
Brett Lee. Oh, that should have got that one.
Footy legends.
Isn't that the comedian? What's his name?
Arndo's in it, yeah. Oh. What's the athlete that's in it?
Oh, the athlete that's in it. Brett Kenny.
I'm going to give you that one. I was looking for Matty Johns.
Matty Johns.
Well done, mate. There we go.
The Brett Favre one hurt me.
Oh, the Brett.
And Dan Marino. I was just shot. Yeah.
Dan Marino. If you had said Ray Finkel, I would have given you the points for it as well. Oh, very good, mate.
The leases were in.
Get
out and see Ace Ventura if you haven't seen it.
Absolutely. Oh, that was good. All right, all sports, mate. Rightio, mate. We had a little UFC card over the weekend. Rose Namajunas was fighting on that card. It was – I didn't catch it.
Yep.
So I'm just going off the cuff here with the results. However, I did see something extremely unusual in the fight card was that there was the first ever Bite of the Night bonus.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, so unfortunately in the second fight on the card, I believe, so it was Igor Severino, who was a debutant Brazilian fighter, he was fighting Andre Lima, and he was disqualified in the second round due to biting.
Yeah, right.
And that's a massive no-no because Dana don't play that shit.
Yeah.
So basically, Igor Severino has already been cut by the organisation.
Ooh.
However, at the conclusion,
so they've Severino of the cut, ties, haven't they?
Severino ties. Oh. Well done, Potty. So at the conclusion, and I'll try and get the image up here. Dana's given him a $50,000 image. $50,000 image. $50,000 check. For getting bitten. So he's called it bite of the night. So he's got the extra bonus. However, he's gone a step further, as you can see here, and I've just brought a nice little video up here for Potty. He's actually got the bite was so deep in his skin.
He hasn't missed him, has he?
No. So he went straight to the tattoo artist in Vegas, and he got the bite mark tattooed into his skin.
Jeez.
And then he's got, obviously the tag around the outside of the bite, it's got bite of the fucking night. It's fantastic.
Yeah, righto. Yeah, so
I wouldn't be getting it tattooed on me. Not no, my jam, no, but no, it's but a pisser. Yep. And, I mean, not a bad little check for a bite on the arm.
Yeah, my oath.
Yeah. I used to get scrotum grabbed back in my junior days, and I didn't get anything for that.
No, well.
It's lucky to get $2 off the tooth fairy.
Yeah.
Mm. However, some really good fights on this one. I'll check this out during the week. But there was a little issue there with the Tafa clan as well. They've had a bit of a switch of opponent, and they recently had one in one of the earlier cards this month. And so Junior stepped in for Justin, but now they've done the reversal and Justin stepped in for Junior. But, I mean, Justin got out of it with a unanimous decision loss, whereas Junior, I think, got his head knocked off. So, yeah. But it just shows those sorts of fighters, they're just game. They'll happily get in there and fight anyone. That's what they do. And Rose Namajunas got the unanimous decision, so she's back in the winners column. Former champion Rose. But all systems go looking towards UFC 300. There's another fight card up this week. They're getting the content out. Blanchfield versus Fiore. Let's have a look. Yeah, Joaquin Buckley, Vicente Luque will be a decent fight. Chris Weidman returns, which should be interesting to keep a lookout for. Nate Landwehr, he had like the old sort of Ronaldo haircut.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, probably a bit of a toned-down version of it, but he'll be fighting as well. But other than that, not really. Jacob Malkoon, probably something of interest for Aussie fans, he'll be fighting. So, yeah, but another free card, another early Sunday. If you've got nothing to do, throw it on.
Yep.
Anyway, mate, moving on from the fights, we've got no real, other than Tim Zhu. Did you see the change of opponent?
Yeah, I saw that, yep.
Look at the reach.
Yeah.
Like, obviously, he's ready.
Yeah, he's
not going to, they're not going to put him,
yeah.
You know, he gets to pick the opponent. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're looking at that and looking at how they're promoting it and going, oh, gee, he's now fighting someone with a massive reach, Tim Zhu is ready to knock his block off.
Yep.
Don't worry about that. They're not putting him in danger of any future big fights.
No.
I think he'll do the job and he'll do it well.
Yeah.
Mm. But anyway, change of opponent. I mean, it's a bit of adversity. That's about carving out the story as you make your way to the top.
Yep.
That's for sure.
Right.
But
Go on, Timmy.
Yeah, we're with you.
All right, mate. So, headline. What's happening to the pies now?
Well, mate, bakery was freaking closed on Sunday when we went to get a pie in the morning.
Yeah, at 6:30 in the morning.
That was a
disgrace.
I was looking
for a coffee and a pie, and I'll tell you what.
Is that what you're talking about?
No, mate, I'm talking about the AFL.
Oh, okay.
Talking about the AFL. Now, you know, we spoke about Cozzy a little bit earlier, and he'd be gutted after the premiership glory last year. The Pies have started 0-3. Our good mate Morgs as well, he'll be struggling a little bit. 0-3 starts not real good. Look, the Swannies and GWS on top, undefeated at the moment, so all going well for New South Wales fans.
It's just the heartland, AFL.
Oh, it's the heartland, Sydney. Yep. They'll, you know, nobody plays league out there anymore. Mm. It's a dead sport.
Is Kevin Sheedy still coaching out there?
Who?
Yeah. Sheeds?
Sheeds. Yeah, anyway, mate, it got me thinking because, you know, I got nothing else to say about the AFL, unfortunately, but that's about as much as I could go. I threw our AFL fans just a little bit of something.
Oh, you threw a throw on the barn.
Yeah, I did, mate. But now we're looking at what's the question?
All right. So use this as a sneaky way to sneak into what's the question. That's what have we got, mate?
Well, it got me thinking. I was like, geez, running a premiership defence and going 0-3, that's going to be tough. And I thought to myself, I wonder if anyone's done that in the AFL before. And I thought, oh, I don't really care. So yeah, I thought, you know, I'm going to ask Grego if anyone has done it in the NRL era. But I'll tell you, mate.
NRL era.
Has anyone in the NRL... Oh, so I'll actually read the question. I won't just try and explain it. There have been three NRL teams to not play finals football the year after winning a premiership. Can you name those three teams and the year that that occurred?
Three NRL teams. That didn't make the eight. So we're talking NRL era. NRL. So we're not going into...
98 onwards. Yeah, okay.
All right. Straight away, my mind goes to deviants in sport, and I look at maybe the Cronulla Sharks or the... Okay, I'm getting tricked here.
Because
if I say the Melbourne Storm, you're going to say they technically didn't win a premiership.
No, they're on Parramatta there.
Melbourne Storm. So that is...
You'll notice I wrote grand final. I didn't write... I did write winning a premiership.
Melbourne Storm?
Melbourne Storm, well done. And what year didn't they make it?
It'd be 2010, wouldn't it?
Yep, 2010, mate.
Are the Cronulla Sharks on?
They're not in there, okay.
All right. I'm going to go back further because I know... So Penrith, when we won in 03,
yep.
So it was Penrith, Roosters, Bulldogs, but all three teams had a steep decline in 05. Mm. Penrith made the finals after it. So I'm going to go with the Bulldogs, not making when they threw Sonny Bill all the money and had to renew all the players. Is that 05, Bulldogs?
Well done, Bulldogs, mate. 05? You have nailed it. Nailed it. Bulldogs, 05. Last right one, yeah. Who you got for me?
So, if we look at the premiers after that, you got Brisbane. Brisbane made the eight forever.
Mm.
Then you had Melbourne, Manly. Then we kicked into the Chooks. Dragons, Chooks.
Mm.
Let's go back.
Yeah, go back, mate. Go back.
I'm going to go with...
You jumped over it.
Yeah, yeah. Tigers.
Tigers, 06, that's right.
Tigers.
I found out that, I was like, oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah. That doesn't surprise me at all, given
the
Tigers.
So it's crazy, isn't it? Because they always talk about that Tigers team.
Yep.
As in, like, they were a generational team. They won one premiership and then didn't make the eight the next year.
Yep. So they actually didn't make the eight again until 2010.
Then they haven't made it since, is it 2011?
2011, so they made it back-to-back 2010.
Yeah, they're fucking awful.
Yeah, they are a terrible, terrible team.
They're a football club.
Yeah.
Rotten to the core. Absolutely.
Anyway.
Oh, very good,
Tigers.
Mate.
Go the Tigers.
Yes, well. Rightio, Aussie GP, mate. Nightmare day for the heavy hitters as an unemployed bloke wins the Australian GP. Now, before you all spit your morning coffee out across the breakfast bar, he's currently employed. They haven't just picked some homeless bloke up off the...
Said fancy a ride this weekend.
In the CBD of Melbourne and said, come on out for a drive. Carlos Sainz, he's won the Oz GP. It was a cracking race. Max Verstappen, I mean, a lot of people allude to the fact that he retired after lap three.
Yep.
But let's be fair to Carlos Sainz. He overtook Verstappen already in between that time. So he was racing fast.
Yep.
So you can't really throw that at him. Oh, Max retired. You know, obviously it would have been a good tussle had they been able to go head-to-head for the duration. But, yeah, it's a big win. And the fact is he hasn't got a seat next year with Lewis Hamilton going over to Ferrari.
Yeah, well, that might...
Charles Leclerc.
That'll get a few people.
Got on the podium as well. So obviously a massive weekend for the Stallion.
Yep.
Good
on ya.
But also, too, no good for Mercedes. Obviously, George Russell crashed on the last lap, which then obviously was a virtual safety car finish for Carlos Sainz. So that's how he won. So he didn't really get to do the checkered flag, which is a bit of a bummer. But, yeah, so and obviously Red Bull had a rough weekend as well. So, you know, Mercedes, Red Bull, your heavy hitters, didn't do too well. But McLaren and Ferrari were happy to sit there and pick up the crumbs.
Well done.
But anyway.
All right, mate. What have we got now?
Mate, it is up to the internet is undefeated.
Presenting the undisputed, the undefeated.
Rightio, the internet is undefeated, mate. Now, I've got a couple for you this week. The internet is undefeated, and it's been doing all right. One of them was, do you remember Mario Balotelli?
Yes, the name.
So he played for X-Man City player, for Liverpool as well. He had a horrible, but he bounced around 1,000 different clubs, into Milan. He's, you know, a player with immense talent, but an absolute flog is what people would say. I don't know the bloke, so. But anyway, this has come out due to via the Sports Bible, and they've so once upon a time when he was living in the UK, he actually nearly burnt his bath. I think he did burn his bathroom down in his mansion, and it was apparently he decided to just put a shitload of firecrackers in the bath and let them off, and almost burnt the house down. Like, just an absolute moron, this bloke. So anyway, so I'll just send this out. See if I can share the screen. I'll set the share again. Right, yeah. All right, so you can see he's in the dressing shed. And he just throws a firecracker, as you can see there, and it just goes off.
What are you doing?
What an idiot.
Yeah.
So anyway, so if there's any question to air of sports fan as to what went wrong with Mario Balotelli, this is a pretty good example of why.
Yep.
So he's just sitting there, his team's in there, kit man's throwing stuff in the laundry, he just lights a firework and just throws it into the other side and almost blows his mate's eardrums out.
What an absolute loser.
Knob. And what makes it worse is he played for Liverpool and Man City. I mean,
so you've got no time for him at all.
No, absolutely not. Anything to give him a kick. Rightio, mate. Some other stuff. We've got to, oh, did you see this one? The jersey swap of the century. Did you see this one, mate?
Yeah.
So it's a college match, a college football match, basketball match, my apologies. So the two players, I can't remember the names of both of them, but anyway, one surname was Dick and the other ones was Black. So they swapped jerseys and they stood there and held the jerseys up together and it read Black Dick.
Yeah.
I mean, that has just been going all over the internet all week, that one. Jersey swap of the century, it's being deemed. And, I mean, I couldn't agree more.
No.
How good is that? And they both, they absolutely know what they're doing here, don't they?
Oh, please.
They're standing there just going, let's go.
They haven't denied it, have they? They haven't gone, oh, yeah.
Nah. I think they're rolling with it. I like it. Fantastic. Yeah, okay, I don't know the names of the players, but anyway, I don't really care either. One final one. What do we got in there? Oh, that's it, running from the cops. This was a pisser. So you know how sometimes I'll have those, like, running from the police pages, and you're just like, oh, you see what some would consider the worst of people, but, you know, people like me just go, oh, that's the best of people. So anyway, this one's an absolute ripper. So this person is being apprehended by police, for those who are listening, and they're just sitting there and they're obviously being interrogated on the curbside, as you do. And then they've decided, you know what, I'm just going to go for a little jog. Oh, and he's off. And then the police hit pursuit. And then, I'm going back to the police vehicle. Straight in the police vehicle and then off. Off she goes and, just hits the floor. Bang, gone. And then, unfortunately, comes to an abrupt stop when she runs into a tree.
Yeah, that'll do it.
That's fantastic. It's coming back. I mean, she was kind enough to park it where she took it, though.
Unfortunately,
it had to roll 200 metres back down the hill to get there.
Yep. Oh, well, it happens.
Oh, very good. So, again, the internet is undefeated, but like always, ladies and gentlemen, if you've got any videos you'd like to share that we could share on the internet is undefeated, get us at Sports Detention on all your social media platforms. Rightio. Few bets, mate. You had any bets on the weekend?
I had a little bit of a pun on the. I did actually pick up the slipper on the weekend. So yeah, I was pretty happy with that.
I didn't. I put money on the Japanese horse who's lost their jockey.
Yeah, lost their jockey. Lady Camelot, mate. Yep.
Got
the chocolate. So I was pretty happy with that. Everyone else who we were sitting with wasn't happy because that was against. Yeah, punters club.
That's exactly right.
So yeah. I'm sitting there cheering and everyone's like, yeah, great. We just lost a couple hundred dollars. Thanks, mate.
Actually, for me, I had a nice little win. 150 collect on the punters club.
You did, mate.
But I couldn't tell you what the horse's name was, what race it was in. All I just knew was it was Bernadette Cooper's pick of the yard.
Yep.
So that was good for me and I went for it. And
well done, Bernie.
Last time I checked the punters club joint bet, there was zero funds in there. So obviously it got blown on another horse.
Dispersed.
Very good, mate. Penis of the week. So it's that time of the week. Penis of the week. We'll keep an eye on the chat here, see if any penises come through. What's your penis of the week, mate?
Mate, I just had to go with the Gold Coast Titans because of the way they've started the year. I don't actually remember why I wrote this in.
This is fantastic podcast. I put that in. That was my penis of the week, and I've put it in the wrong one.
Oh, so there we go.
This is fantastic. How good is this? This is fucking amateur hour.
Jeez.
How good is this?
No, Dad said, I was like, jeez, I said they were going bad, but why would I? Jeez,
I put them in as penis of the week, yeah.
Oh, what do you got, mate? Why?
So, no, you can have the Titans as penis of the week. You can have them.
All right, fair enough.
Yeah, penis of the week, Titans, just because they're shit.
Yeah, stop being so shit.
Yeah. My penis of the week is the Mosquitoes at Yamba Golf Club.
Yep.
Mate, they are awful.
Yep.
Penis of the week is anybody who spent $15 on a 100 ml can of Bushman's spray from the pro shop at Yamba Golf Club.
Yeah, I did that. And it burnt my arms.
As if that is not price gouging, if you've ever seen
it. Mate, I tell you what, there were plenty of people begging me for it halfway around. I could have sold it off for about $100 a spray.
Rightio, penis of the week, Gold Coast Titans and the Mosquitoes.
Yeah.
Oh, very good, mate.
I've
seen
grizzly bears smaller than those buggers.
Oh, mate, they were awful. Well, we've done it again, mate. Another one in the books. So for all those who have been just absolutely at a loss as to what has happened to the football show, just a couple of things, recent times, illnesses and some other stuff. So the football show will return this Thursday as we lead into the back end of the international break and we get into our Easter, the Holy Week. Yep, we'll be back on board this week with the football show, so look out for that. As always, on the social media threads, YouTube, like, subscribe to the show, give us a rating, make sure it's a good one, otherwise they just bury us in the algorithm. We don't want that.
No.
And yes, thanks again for your loyal support, listeners. We love it. And anything to add before we're done?
Thanks, guys.
Very good. Okay, and for all of our listeners down in Tarrant Point, home of the Titans, we say good night.
And farewell.
Actually, I don't know where the button is.
Yes, we are rolling.